This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The third trait or the third characteristic of the believer, of good values, of good moral conduct, is one of humility. Thus we find that sometimes inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yukhatibu al-rasul, speaks directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to carry out certain actions or to do certain things or to stay away from certain things. And sometimes these commandments or these recommendations or these prohibitions, as ulama of ulum al-Quran discuss, are not just for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They become also actions that we need to carry out inside our lives as well. Because these are traits and characteristics which are generic for the human being to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ. Indeed, for you to emulate and to copy the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example in him. To emulate and to copy him. So amongst these commandments that we find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says to him, وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower the wings of humility, of softness, of kindness, of goodness to whoever amongst you happens to be your followers amongst the believers. And thus we find that compassion and mercy and kindness and goodness and humility is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a similar verse inside the Quran which also uses the same wording or the same word of lowering the wings of humility, of compassion. And here in specific, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, to whom should we lower the wings of humility and compassion towards? وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ جَنَاحَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Specifically to one's parents. Lower the wings of compassion, of humility, of kindness and goodness. Mercy towards whom? Towards your parents. And then supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, show mercy and compassion to them, just like they showed mercy and compassion to me once I was a young individual, was being nurtured and being brought up by them. And thus we find numerous traditions. إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Show mercy and compassion to whoever is upon the earth, and you find that one who is above the heavens will show compassion towards you. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. In the hadith that you find, whoever doesn't show mercy and compassion to people, then no compassion and mercy should be shown towards that individual, either between human beings whilst they reside on this earth, or may Allah forbid inside the akhirah, there'll be no compassion or mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards those individuals. And thus we find that the concept of humility is not just mere words. It may sound very harsh for some of us, but Islam sometimes is contextualized. It becomes more just mere academia, rhetoric, theory, theological practices that we find. Not to say that we should undermine them or not to be worried about them, but sometimes the spirit of Islam is lost. We don't see traits. That's what ulama mentioned, ahliyat as-sirah, to read through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see how he combined the Quran and Sunnah as a living embodiment, as a living individual. So if we take humility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that he would sit with the poor. He would sit with children. He would stitch and mend his own clothes. He would cook his own food or milk his own sheep. He would mend his own shoes. He would fix his own water bucket. These are just small examples, or rather these are great examples from the seerah of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find there's no individual who could be more busier than him. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. The blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so immense upon you, so magnified, so glorified, from being خَاتُمُ النَّبِيِّينَ, from being the seal of prophethood, to being the husband inside the house, to being a statesman, to being a person walking on the streets, Yet we find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his humility in the way that he conducted himself, we find a vast difference, unfortunately, inside our practices and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And thus we find in the hadith of Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi that when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was asked, how was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam inside the house? How would he be? Because some of us, we depict this image that life is all a scholarly virtue. Life is all doing this. Life is all that. Can anybody be more busier than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If he entered into the home, then you take care of the affairs of the house. He would take care of whatever needs to be done inside the house. Participate inside the house. You know, sorry to express it, but some of us, we think it's not manly. We think it's not manly to clean the house, to wash the utensils, to tidy up, to take care of the home. I don't know where this concept comes from, but that's what some of us, we think. That as Muslims, it's not very manly to take care of the home, to wash dishes, to iron clothes, to scrub the floor, to help one's family members inside the house. This is how Aisha describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very humble individual. But when the adhan was given, as if he doesn't know his family members, then he would leave the house. Until that moment in time, he would be just taking care of shu'unul bayt, taking care of the home. And in there you find a sir, as possibly some ulama fiqh al-usra extracted. You find not just barakah, you find barakat. You find blessings. That in coming out, in seeking one's sustenance, one's rizq, that if a person is taking care of their home, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows blessings upon that individual. That maybe few moments out of the house, there's much blessings have been placed inside that person's time, inside their wealth. As you can read through the seerah of many of the ulama, small moments of work that we find. And you find 7, 8, 10 children, families eating from that small few hours of work. Barakah inside their time. Barakah inside their lives. You find, for masalan, you find Imam Qurtubi. Inside this tafsir that we find, hundreds of pages of tafsir that we find. Approximately died just over the age of 40. And some ulama tried to deduce that, how is it possible to write some 40 odd pages in a day? How is he able to do that? And we're not talking about cutting and pasting or typing. We find handwritten with an instrument, with an ink, with a blunt instrument at times. You find barakah. Barakah inside their lives. Barakah inside their time. Humility in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises them. Raises them. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. What is with you will perish. It ends. That which lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. Allah multiplies it, magnifies it, increases it, lets it continue until the end of time by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we have to remember that we are all just mere creation of Allah. That is the beginning of humility. That we understand that all of us, the essence of all of us, we're all human beings. The only difference is we find in some athar that we find when Jibreel alayhi salam, he took certain remnants of the earth, took various types of dust, of clay. As ulama tafsir, they discuss about the creation, Adam alayhi salam. Put it all together, thus we find that some of us are different in color, some are different in nature that we find. There's even some authentic narrations that we find that human beings are all different in the way that they are. That maybe you have to find, go through 100 riding beasts until you find the right riding beast. So a person needs to know the psychological development of human beings to see who they are and what they are. But what we all share is a concept of the essence of what we are. That Allah has created us all in the same fashion, the same manner. And then given us certain virtues. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْدَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah has given virtue over others via provision. He makes somebody rich, he makes someone poor, he gives someone excessive wealth. As-sir عند الله. It lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as ulama mentioned, the giving of wealth or giving of certain blessings, there's a key element behind it. To see how we conduct ourselves upon the earth. Another passage of Quran we find, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. He's one who's made you the inheritors of this earth, to reside upon this earth. وَرَفَعْ بَعْدَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْدْ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. And he's raised some of you in ranks over other individuals, whether it be preference, wealth, or property, whatever it may be. For what purpose? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ. To test you with that which He has given to you, provided to you. Because everything we've been given is from Allah. Everything is from Allah. Person shouldn't think, هذا من كسبي. This is from my own mental arithmetic, my own ability, my own skill, my own mindset. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah brought you out the wombs of your mothers and you had no knowledge. You had nothing. Nothing to perceive, nothing to understand, nothing to have of your life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that gives it. Then Allah concludes the verse of mention, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. إشارة. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ. That if you don't use these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ. He is swift, quick in punishment, chastisement. That blessings have been placed there for you to use them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed blessings upon all of us. ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. All these blessings apparently hidden for that purpose, to see who of us is going to be grateful and humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the real believer delivers these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're apparent and hidden. Apparent and hidden, and follows a life of humility, of humbleness. Thus you find passages inside the Quran which speak about akhlaq. And it speaks about the opposite. About those individuals who don't have good character, good behavior, not humble individuals. You find a very strange depiction about them. Inside Surah Luqman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Luqman, the advice He gives to His son. Speaks firstly the advice He gives to His son. يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. The first lesson, أول أمر, that He teaches His son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Never commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the commandments, they continue about establishing the prayer, about ordering the good and forbidding the evil, and not raising one's voice, not walking upon the earth in a state of arrogance, and not raising one's voice till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Inna ankara al-aswati la sawtul hamir. Allah says, the most wicked of speech, the most bad of speech, is the voice of the braying donkey. Humility. A shakhs lamma yatakallam, person when they speak in general, there's humility inside their speech. Illa fi halat al-khutbah aw al-wa'zi. Person's giving khutbah, admonition, or warning, or some dance, or something that's justified. But not at all moments in time that the whole your life becomes screaming and shouting at people. Your whole khitab, your whole demeanor of speaking becomes one of rhetoric, looking down upon people, or being harsh towards people. That's not the natural demeanor of the human being. Inna ankara al-aswati la sawtul hamir. Is the braying of the ass, the braying of the donkey. Person raises the voice. Hatta you find in Surah Al-Isra. Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel. Once again, about akhlaq, about characteristics and behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk upon the earth in a boastful manner. Only time that the Muslim walks in a boastful manner is whilst performing the tawaf. Performing the tawaf, that they can show their strength to the Quraysh sunnah that remains today. In the first three, the person reveals their shoulder, shows their strength. Oh, fi makanul jihad. Person doesn't become humble there, becomes weak and humble. Person shows their strength, shows their might. وَعِدُّ لَوْ مَسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Shows their strength, shows their physical force. Doesn't self become a sense of humility and humbleness. As a Christian say that they slap you one cheek, offer the other cheek. That's not what Islam says. Islam says if you have to retaliate in the principles of the Sharia, in the warfare of the Sharia, then a person retaliates accordingly. Shows force, shows might, shows strength. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. You know, walking upon the earth in this manner, you're not going to be able to reach the height of the mountains, the peak of the mountains, thousands of feet that we find, and you're not going to be able to penetrate into the earth. So how dare you walk in this manner upon the earth? Then Allah concludes the verse, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. Because numerous things are mentioned that which are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is disliking by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to walk in a pompous manner, in a boastful manner upon this earth. So humility is the way in the life of the believer that we find. The Quran always makes us ponder over our essence. If you study the final two juz of the Quran, juz Tabarak that we find, and juz Amma that we find, numerous passages inside is speaking about the essence of the human being. فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقَ خُلِقَ مِنْ مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ يَخْرُجُ بَيْنَ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقَ. Let the human being look at that which has been created from. خُلِقَ مِنْ مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ, has been created from gushing water that comes from the loins. Another passage of the Quran, Surah Al-Insan, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Surah Al-Insan, have you not seen, has it not come over you, has not the thought come over you that human being, mankind, لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا, was nothing. Then we created a human being مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ, from the mixed semen. Then we gave him the ability to see and the ability to hear. Likewise, we find inside Surah Abasa that we find, or Surah Al-Nazi'at, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرُهُ ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. This is the human being. That we created the human being, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. What did we create the human being from? مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ, from semen. And another place inside the Quran, water that you find, despicable water. Inside Surah Al-Mursalat, Allah described the human, this is the nature of the human being. لِمَاذَا؟ لِمَاذَا الْآيَاتُ الْقُرْآنِيَةُ تُشِيرُ إِلَى هَذَا؟ Why is the Quran pointing towards this? Because why? To show the essence of the human being. And the end result of the human being should be one. Should be one of humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, you find the human being, as the Quran documents, becomes full of argumentative behavior, justifying their cause, justifying their needs, justifying their practices, justifying even, may Allah forbid, their oppression. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Does not mankind see that he has been created from the human, from the semen? That's what the human being has been created from. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. And he is argumentative towards people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat inside Surah Yasin that we find, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. He gives this example. He's being argumentative towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. He forgets his own creation, what he's been created from. And then he begins to argue, who is going to recreate me, resurrect me, and I'm Rameen, dust, bones. قُلْ يُحْيِيَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. The one who gave life in the beginning will give life once again, will resurrect once again. The concept al-ba'ath wal-nushur is replete inside the Quran. It's always there inside the Quran. حَتَّى you find inside the Quran آيات for مثلا سورة البقرة 286 verses, سورة المدنية, a Madinan surah speaking about ahkam. But you find inside this surah, you find five occasions speaking about al-ba'th wa al-nushur, about resurrection, of bringing the human being back to life once again. Till eventually you find surah al-taghabun, the mutual loss. زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى رَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا. Disbelieving individuals, they believe, it's their creed, we're never going to be resurrected, we're never going to be brought forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, you are going to be brought forth and you're going to be asked. And that's how the Muslim so should visualize their life. There is al-ba'ath wa al-nushur, there's resurrection, there's standing, there's recompense, there's yawmuddin, the day of accountability, the day of returning back in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby every individual will be delivered or asked about their actions. The Quran mentions, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Yeah, subhanallah. إِنسَانُ أَكْثَرُ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Man is always argumentative, always tries to justify. مَا يَقْبَلُ. Doesn't want to accept, doesn't want to step down, wants to carry on arguing, carry on arguing, carry on justifying, carry on saying things. For what purpose? Inside Surah Al-Hajj, right? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّيْلِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. Inside Surah Al-Hajj, we find there are some people who argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or argue, just begin to argue. For what purpose? No guidance. They have no clear book. Just life just becomes jidan. Argumentative approach towards life. That's what it becomes. وَحَتَّ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. The Quran says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When you argue with the people of the book, with ahsan, with goodness, with kindness, with logical explanations and understanding towards them, it doesn't become shatam and reviling, till eventually many of us, that we get involved in debates, that we find, what's the final statement that we say to some of these individuals? فَمَصِيرُكَ إِلَى النَّارِ. You're going to the hellfire. Go to the hellfire. لَا مَزَلْ حَيْ. He's living. He's living. Your task is to ignite faith, is to remind faith. Remind them about Allah. Get them to think about Allah's Alif. Get them to think about Islam. And guidance lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not condemnation. Islam isn't to condemn people or to condemn our own Muslims, Allah, to condemn them. That every time Muslims are doing something wrong, to condemn them. This person. The person, because they sin by default, they'll be punished by default, they go to the hellfire by default. May Allah forbid they're non-Muslim. حَتَّى الْكَبَائِرِ. A Muslim who carries out major sins. فَهُوَ تَحْتَ مَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ. Underneath the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ شَاءُ يُعَذِّبُهُ. If Allah once can punish him, Allah once can forgive him subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But apparently we fear. We fear for Muslims who carry out major sins, kaba'ir, openly, carry them out, disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. We fear for them, that their actions could be rejected, and may even be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the final day. And thus we find that the concept of humbling oneself, that we find, of reflecting, of humbleness, that a person becomes one who doesn't begin to challenge mankind. And may Allah forbid that some people begin to challenge God. Some people, they begin to challenge God, rather becoming humble and humility, they begin to pose questions. You know, even as Muslims, we should be very, very wary. When a person says such questions, says that, why did Allah allow this to happen? Or why is this happening to me? Or why am I suffering as a Muslim? We should be wary about such kalimat. We should be very wary of such words. Because these are words of kufr, or words of disbelief. That we are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the infinite wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than becoming humble and accepting that there's going to be various challenges, various difficulties, various obstacles, various challenges that come in the life of the individual. And a person needs to override those challenges, needs to see, as they say, the light of Allah, the nur of Allah, the light of Allah at the end, to find that even though this may be difficult upon me, masa'ib, but there is some light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. Deliverance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that rather than sharing the concept of humanity, rather we find oppressors oppressing humanity, or we find what is classified as superior complex. We find that some of us, that we think we're better than another individual, a superior complex that we find is visualized. We don't need to hide about it. It's visualized in the Muslim Ummah. That we find it's clearly visualized. How people treat other Muslims. How they discuss with other Muslims. How they employ other Muslims. How they engage with other Muslims. A superior complex. Which is nothing but a complex of shaitan. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. This was the mantik, the logic of Iblis. This is the logic he used in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah said to him that, what is the matter with you? That you refuse to prostrate with that which I created with my own two hands. أَسْتَكْبَرْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِي. Are you arrogant? Are you a lofty individual? Are you special, elite individual? The special rank that belongs to you? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I'm better than Adam alayhi salam. I'm better than a human being. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You created me from the fire, you created him from the mud, from the clay. This was his logic. This same logic exists, may Allah forbid, amongst some of us Muslims, that I'm better than another Muslim. And thus we find in the hadith of today, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, or this hadith, speaking to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَنْ تَوَادَعُ حَتَّى لَا يَبْغِيَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ وَلَا يَفْخَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. Allah revealed to me to be أَنْ تَوَادَعُ, to be humble, to be full of humility. So no individual boasts or oppresses one individual upon another individual. And no individual begins to claim a right over another individual that we find. In essence, a simple explanation is hadith, we're all equal. We're all similar individuals. And there should be no boasting over another individual that we find. Another similar hadith that we find, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. Giving a sadaqah doesn't diminish your wealth. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. A person doesn't show humility and pardoning and forgiveness except when a person increases in honor and dignity. وَمَا تَوَادَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَ اللَّهُ. You find a person does not show humility towards human beings or become a humble individual, إِلَّا رَفَعَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, except for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the rank of this individual in a hadith in the collection of Sahih of Imam Muslim. Now if we dissect this hadith before the concept of humility that we find, once again practices, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ وَمَا نَقَصَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ, that you find that sadaqah is not decreased or wealth is not decreased. So here we find the sharing of one's wealth. The mal is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, as we began with, to see how you deliver the wealth that Allah bestowed upon us. Secondly, we find forgiving others. This is a way of a believer. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes about racing towards paradise, racing towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside Surah Ali Imran that we find. Then Allah describes these individuals. وَالْعَافِينَ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Then Allah mentions a different dimension about who these pious individuals are. Because some of us just, we stop on our life on, sorry to use the word linguistically, but rituals of praying, of fasting, of performing hajj, it stops there. But the Quran goes always into an inner dimension. What piety is. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It's not ayah inside Surah Al-Baqarah. Study this ayah. What is al-birr? What is piety? After mentioning about prayer and fasting and giving of zakah, then it goes into the inner dimension of pardoning of Islam is. So here in this verse inside Surah Al-Imran that we find, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, which literally means those who swallow their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and swallowing of anger, ulama described, the person who has the ability to revenge. That's what we're going to come. That's what ulama describe what humility is. Humility is the person has the power, and the sultan, qudra, quwwa, has ability to rebel in a sense of retract towards that individual, go back to that individual, to seek the right, whatever it may be. But they don't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find a third, humbleness. A person does not show humbleness except for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the rank, raises this individual in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the sight of the human beings. And thus we find the other ahadith, whereby we find that person has the ability, very strange ahadith that we find, person has the ability to do certain things, but doesn't do them. For masculine, we find whoever avoids wearing elegant and expensive garments out of humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can afford them, person can show their richness, display their wealth, but doesn't want to do that, showing humbleness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will call him before the hands of, or the heads of creation day of judgment, so that he can choose whichever garments of the garments of paradise the believer he wishes to wear. Hadith in Sunnah Imam Tirmidhi, Abwab Sifatul Qiyamah, descriptions or descriptive nature of the day of judgment that we find. And thus we find, as ulama have described, when people are not enthralled, we're not worried about the wealth and the power. They want to live humble lives, spending the wealth and power and to influence people or to help the needy for the sake of Allah. That's what humility is. Humility isn't to show your pomp and your charade, to show your wealth. You know, some people try to justify, oh, what's wrong with displaying your wealth? What's wrong with building multi-levels of buildings and plazas and skyscrapers? What's wrong with that? It's showing our wealth. In essence, if you study in great detail, it's showing arrogance. It's showing pride, because many of them, when a person builds a skyscraper, feels that it's not enough, that my competitors My business rivals have built something that goes beyond me, so I need to demolish this and build this even more. We study the psychological development history of why people do certain things. They do build it for thawa, to show power, to show strength. Not necessarily to show humility or to show their wealth, but to show that we have might, we have power, we have the ability to do certain things. Real humility is to show deliverance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why numerous ahadith speak quite very strange about clothing. Clothing leads towards arrogance. That's why the great discussion take place amongst ulama in the late 18th century and the beginning of 19th century, discussing clothing. Why? Why are ulama discussing about clothing, whether a person should wear pantaloon, wear trousers, wear a shirt, wear a suit, wear a tie? Why are ulama discussing this? You know, for some of us, we might think it's trivial. Study the deep inner nature of why ulama were discussing this in the late 18th century, 19th century. Because people used to boast. People used to boast that to dress in this manner is a sign of civilization, is a sign of going forward. So in the late 18th century, in a Muslim country, we had our dress code, we had the way that we lived our lives. So to wear a suit, it shows you're a disciplined individual. وَلَا تَعْرِفْ حَرْفٌ مِنَ اللُّغَةِ الْإِنْجْلِزِيَةِ أو فرنسية. You don't know a word of English. You don't know a word of French. But this shows that in society, I'm a modern individual. I'm a codified individual. Because I'm following Al-Gharb. I dress like the Westerners. So that shows I must be a privileged special individual. وَلِهَذَا الْعُلَمَا مَنَعُ لِبْسُ الْكُفَّارِ. That's why ulama, they forbade. They made it haram to dress like the kuffar for this reason. We may laugh and joke about it today. Understand the psyche, the reason. And likewise, you find other ulama speaking about clothing that we find, it should be highlighted because we are practitioners. We are teachers. We're here to benefit the people, teach ourselves. We find narrations speak about the garment that are trailing. People try to justify saying, well, it's if a person has arrogance. A hadith speak about a person who's showing arrogance. If the lower garment it trails. Ulama have discussed it in great detail. Once again, the psychological concept. Even today, you find having your garments trailing is a sign of pride, is a sign of wealth, is a sign of being in authority. That people, their clothing be trailing yards on end to show that I'm the ruler, I'm the emperor, whatever it may be. And the Prophet, he warned against this. That any person whose garment trails below their ankles, fafinna. Whatever is underneath the two ankles will be inside the fire. People try to say, well, I'm not doing it out of arrogance. Ulama, jam'ul ahadith. In ba'd al-ahadith, some ahadith don't speak about arrogance. So ulama said, a person who does it out of arrogance, fahuwa ashadd al-adab. It's even more punishment. That out of arrogance of it. A person who just generally does it, there's punishment for that individual. Not that once again we're condemning any individual. We don't judge a Muslim by the size of their beard. Or the size of their garment. وَلَكِنْ هَذِي حَدْيُ النَّبِي. We can all conclude this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, at least. That you find in the ayah inside the Quran, some 16 prophets are mentioned. Inside Surah Al-An'am, if I'm not mistaken, Surah Al-Nisa, 16 prophets are mentioned by name. Then Allah concludes and mentions, follow their path, follow their guidance. Ar-Rasul alayhi salatu salam, كَانَ ثِيَبُ ثَوْبُهُ. His thawb, his garment was where? As we began to read his seerah. Where was his thawb? Where was his garment? Read through the seerah and you'll find the answer is there. As we began with لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. How would he dress? How would his garment be? How would he encourage the companions around him? What did he say about them? What did he encourage them to do? What did he remind them to do? And that's when even he say to his companions, to raise your garment, raise it even more, raise it even more. And then when they looked at who was saying that, they saw it was the Prophet ﷺ. We found that his garment was above his ankles, at least ala aqal or hatta nisfu saq, until half of the shin that we find. Well, aqal shay that you find, it should have fallen below the ankles of the individual.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad, ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man tamassaka bi sunnati ila yawmidin amma ba'd. At the same time, humility should not be measured by a person dressing in rags or a state of poverty and say this is a humble individual. Or we find that concept of pretentious humbleness. A person showed, display some element of humbleness inside society. This is not the benchmark of humility. That a person now wears tattered clothing, ripped clothing, and says this is, I'm a humble individual. A person wears according to their needs and their wants and according to what Allah has bestowed them upon them to show the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should not become boasting about their wealth, and their property will become visible that this person is boasting about what they own and what they possess. And as we find the Prophet throughout his life, at all moments, even moments of enjoyment or moments of lightheartedness that we find, was always still instilling amongst his companions of humility, racing with the companions, racing with the camels that we find. The camel of the Prophet never lost a race. Never lost a race, but one day it lost a race. Companions were troubled or upset in a manner that how is that possible? And as they said, all fast horses, all horses have to drop one day. That it makes no impact. It has no impact upon my life or upon my seerah if the horse didn't win. And here we need to conclude that as we may celebrate certain things in our society, in the world around us, let us speak openly. The winning of the World Cup or the playing of the football, that Muslims get very emotional about it and say, well, they are Muslim players, it's good for society, it's good for community, it's good for this. The simple answer is, it may sound very harsh and simple for us, it has no impact upon Islam. It has no impact upon Islam. It has, if I can use such a word, it has no impact towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person scores a goal or performs a sajda and delivers that I'm a Muslim or praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has no impact. And we should be honest. If you want to watch and enjoy the sport, there's no harm inside that. But don't try to deliver this message that this is some form of delivering of Islam, showing the world Islam. This is just 0.00001% of what Islam is, that the person professes a Muslim name, and the person performed a sajda, the person prays inside the life, which by default every Muslim should be doing. So we shouldn't exploit this affair and try to deliver that this is some form of humanity. Humility is devotion, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humility isn't to lower yourself and to shake your enemy's hand or to do whatever they tell you to do. That's not humility. Humility is the belief in the conviction. These are teachings of Allah. This is the life that Allah kind of told me to lead inside my life. I need to follow that inside my life. And that's what we find is measured by the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what humility is measured by. How much you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much you encourage the life of living according to the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, second you find, humility is how you treat fellow human beings. It's not humility that you take the workforce from impoverished nations, from impoverished Muslim countries, and not pay them this salary, make them work in the heat, pay them peanuts, and then people who come, who are American or non-Muslim, come to come there and use their expertise and their skills, and you treat them. وَخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Show the wings of mercy, compassion, mercy to who? To Muslims. No one's saying we should be unfair towards non-Muslim. That's not what our creed is, our belief is. But wings of mercy delivered to Muslims. Muslims, we should deliver wings of mercy, compassion, and kindness towards them. And thus we find that the end result of what is Ibadur Rahman. Once again, about sifat, about characteristics, at the end of Surah Al-Furqan that we find, Allah describes who are Ibadur Rahman. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, servants of Allah, read this ayat, end of Surah Al-Furqan. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, who walk upon the earth in a state of humility. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Ignorant individuals waste their time, make comments, say this, say that, don't know what they're doing inside their lives, disturb them. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. You know, we Muslims need to have an objective in life. We need to have a purpose in life. We need to have a mission in life. We need to have a cause in life. We live in this environment. We need to have a cause. We need to believe in something. Don't just become an average individual. Anybody can be the average individual. A Muslim is not an average individual. A Muslim is one humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inspires the individual. Inspires the individual to go to lofty aspirations, lofty achievements, just like we began with. That the Prophet ﷺ becomes the most humble of individuals inside his home and becomes the most humble of individuals outside as a leader, as a statesman, as a prophet in the society around him. But yet for many of us, the opposite exists inside our homes and environment around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to return back to the characteristics and traits and the practices of the Prophet ﷺ, ظاهرة وباطنة, what is apparent and what is hidden. to deliver ourselves to and shroud ourselves with his sunnah, with his sunnah of everything about him externally and internally, that we feel content inside our life. We feel content that I am trying my best. As the Quran mentions, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim." That's how we should engage inside our lives, that the Prophet ﷺ is closer to the believers than their own self. That's how we should engage ourselves. That in moments of anger, of sadness, happiness, of joy, of wealth, property, giving, taking, comments, work, life, family, friendship, how do I deliver myself? How do I deliver myself? Am I delivering myself according to Sunnah then? Or is it just, as may Allah forbid, the rhetoric? The rhetoric, you mentioned that this is the Sunnah, this is what the Sunnah says. No, a Sunnah is deeper penetration, deeper implementation of displaying within our own souls and to the wider community around us,